Welcome to the 24/7 Sports College Football Podcast with your hosts, Chip Patterson and Barton Simmons. The ultimate insider's guide from signing day to the national championship game and everything in between. CBS Sports presents the 24/7 Sports College Football Podcast.
The postseason is upon us here on the 24/7 Sports College Football Podcast, and the syndicate took a hit. A lot of our principal plays were taking hits, and all three of us here in the postseason have started the first segment of this competition. We're a couple units down. Tom, here's a question. Have y'all tallied up the total value? Because it's not as bad as it felt as I was watching all my picks go up in flames during this first set of bowl games.
I know I'm in the negative, but I couldn't remember which ones I had 1 point on and 5 points on, so I'm not 100% sure.
I have no idea. I just know I won my highest point value, so I think that saved me a little bit. But I'm eagerly awaiting my score.
Okay. And you're absolutely right. All of us on FAU minus 22 and a half, we all agreed it was the easiest pick. Props to Tom, who threw five on it. It saved him, and he is the leader at minus one. Barton, you're Woo! Absolutely right. It gave you plus four, and I should have gone heavier. All right, let's go to the report. Barton, two units lost on North Texas, plus seven. One unit lost on the Western Kentucky over 53.5. Two units lost on Oregon minus seven. This burns. After switching from Marshall to Colorado State,
that, I deserve this.
You lose one unit there. One unit gained on Middle Tennessee. Way to shout out Brent Stockstill and ride that train. That was good. Four units gained with Florida Atlantic. And, man, you only lost one unit on SMU minus five, but jeez.
Should have lost a lot more. just by how bad it was, throw another couple units on that fire.
It says minus two for that first little run of games.
Man, I'll take minus two.
Because it felt bad.
Yeah, it felt bad.
Because I was describing to someone, like, not only were my picks wrong, but just, like, the way that I thought a game was going to go just totally went sideways. Tom, as mentioned, you are at minus one, lost five units on North Texas, but got it right back with the Georgia State Panthers. Five units cash in as the Panthers are outright winners and as 6.5-point underdogs. You had a couple narrow overs, right? Mm-hmm. Oregon Boise losing five units on 61.5, lost one unit on Colorado State Marshall. You had the under. It went over. Lost one unit on the Arkansas State Middle Tennessee under. It went over. That was another narrow one. Got five units on Florida Atlantic and got one unit on Louisiana Tech. Chip lost four units on North Texas. Yikes. Got one unit back on the Western Kentucky Georgia State under. Lost three units on the Oregon Boise under. Lost two units on Colorado State minus 5.5. Lost four units on the Arkansas State Middle Tennessee under, got three units back on Florida Atlantic, and got five units. The biggest win for me was the easiest, Louisiana Tech plus five against SMU. So, Tom minus one, Barton minus two, Chip minus four. For this round of picks, we are going to be taking you through the action on Tuesday, December 26th. Then on Tuesday, December 26th, at some point in the afternoon, make sure that you hit subscribe or refresh your feed, because then we will be coming at you with the games for the 27th, 28th, and 29th, which includes Ohio State and USC. So the college football playoff New Year's Six will begin at that point.
I'd like just to make a PSA. If I put a one or a two confidence value on a game, if I put one or two units on a game, that is probably a no-play game for me in a normal setting. I would not feel comfortable playing it. So if you are here on this pod actually looking to make money, you can either on my picks either not play that or even potentially fade that play if you had faded my ones and twos last week, you would have had a hell of a week. So, you know, take that for what it's worth.
I think all my ones and twos are locks. Feeling real good about this.
All of my picks come with 100% guarantee.
100% guarantee, all of your money back. All of the free 99 that you have spent on this podcast, I will get back to you. I'm excited. There's some plays here I like a lot. Tom, you are the leader in the clubhouse. Take the lead on UAB Ohio.
We're picking locks.
My blue plate special 5-star locks are coming.
Come get these locks.
5-star master lock. Lock it up.
You want these locks?
I'm living and dying every point, every cover.
I will take the lead on UAB Ohio, and I am going with the under 59, 5 points.
I like that you come out with 5 units right out the gate.
Baby, there's a theme to Tom's picks. I don't know if you guys have picked up on them yet. We go 5 or 1. There's no in between. But yeah, I see these are two good teams. UAB is a terrific story. Ohio is a team that should have won its division in the MAC, but it lost a crazy Wednesday night game to Akron, and that's how we ended up with that lovely Cherubundi Tart Cherry Boca Raton Bowl blowout, where FAU was playing a team greatly overmatched when it should have been playing Ohio. But this is a good matchup, but it's also a situation where I don't really see these are two efficient offenses, but neither of them are what you would consider to be explosive offenses. So I'm looking at this as going to be kind of a older schoolish kind of game where, you know, there's some good play, but it's not going to be up tempo. It's not going to be super high scoring. It's going to be, I have Ohio winning. I don't know if I have them covering the spread, but I think it's going to be like a 27-20, 27-24 kind of game. So I like the under.
What about you, Barton?
It was going to be hard for Vegas to put any line out there in this bowl season that I wasn't going to take UAB. Give me the 6.5 points. These guys have been in Birmingham just practicing against each other for 2 years. They are itching for this. They're hungry for this. They're excited. They get the trip to the Bahamas. Look, I got to do a better job of finding some motivation spots here. Louisiana Tech was a motivation spot that I missed. SMU's coaching staff, I missed on that. I just think that UAB is going to be excited for this opportunity. And so whether they win or not, this will be a close game. UAB plus 6.5.
How many units?
One unit.
I would not fade that. I like UAB plus the points. This is a situation where if this line starts to dance a little bit, if this gets to 7, if this like at 7.5, I'm smashing UAB, making it like a 4-unit play under a touchdown in what I think will be a close game. Makes me a little bit nervous. My play, a 2-unit play, is with Tom. I'm going to go on the under 59. And this is where I am taking off-field factors into consideration, but it is not motivation, but location. And the Bahamas Bowl games that are high-scoring are mostly if they go to overtime. And if this game goes to overtime, well, then I'm probably going to lose my over-under. But it makes sense that in that stadium where there are more Popeyes flags than fans who are not parents around the stadium, I like the sleepy atmosphere. I like things to get this game to get to nice little comfy lulls where the clock just continues to run. And I'm going to go 2 units on the UAB Ohio under. But I love if I'm picking a winner as a fan. I mean, Ohio gets to play in bowl games all the time. They're like perennially 6-6. Definitely rooting for the Blazers. So while we are competing against each other, Barton, I agree with you. I think UAB is the sentimental pick here.
Clark.
No. All right. Barton, you get the lead on Central Michigan, Wyoming.
By the way, don't we also have a FIU Temple game to pick?
That's tonight. I'm going to let it fall by the wayside unless you're right, feeling
just no play there.
Take
all right,
the under
let's follow
if
me.
You're listening.
Central Michigan and Wyoming.
We are going to get Josh Allen.
We're going to get Josh Allen. So this is the way I visualized this game. This is sort of like the metaphor that popped into my head as I looked at this matchup. You remember in Fight Club when they're in like the basement of that restaurant or whatever, and the owner of the restaurant comes in to shut down the Fight Club named Lou, and Brad Pitt's character like allows himself to get beat up, and then he grabs Lou and he says, "You don't know where I've been, Lou." And he just freaks him out enough to where the guy's like, "All right, you can have it." That is Shane Morris
in this
versus
game.
Josh Allen. Shane Morris is going to jump on Josh Allen and say, "You don't know where I've been, Josh." And Josh Allen is going to be like, "Look, okay, man, I'm going to be a first-round draft pick. Like, it's the famous Idaho Potato Bowl. Like, you can have it." I like Shane Morris. Top 100 commit. Concussions at Michigan. Horrible. Has this bounce back year at Central Michigan. They've like won four of their last five or something. This is going to be his Super Bowl. Josh Allen just needs to get through this thing healthy. Give me Central Michigan and the points. You don't know where I've been, Josh.
Please tell me that's like a 4-star.
I'll throw 2 on it.
Oh, man.
You go through all that, and then I'll throw 2 on it.
Tom, where are you at?
I know where you've been, Shane. That's Josh Allen in his Batman voice. I'm going with Wyoming -3.5, but it's only a 1-pointer for me. I really, the Idaho Potato Bowl, it's probably going to be cold. It's probably going to be dreary. And I don't really have a great read on this one either way. With Josh Allen, I feel like this is, you know, the last game chance of his to, you know, impress the scouts. But apparently, based on the numbers and production he's put up, it really doesn't matter what he does. The scouts are thoroughly impressed. So I don't know. I'm going Wyoming -3.5, but it's a 1. So, you know, take that for what it's worth.
1-star, and I'm going to go to the frozen Boise Tundra. You know, when it's cold, they say that sometimes, you know, it's hard to sweat, but I want to feel it. I want to feel the undersweats of Central Michigan at 45.5. It's a 1-star pick, but boy, it's for all the thrills. So I'm going 1-star Wyoming Central Michigan under 45.5. Let's get some interceptions, but not pick sixes. Let's get some missed field goals, and let's get a lot of clock burning in a cold, cold, cold game. So under 45.5, so I can feel alive in the cold weather.
I like that. Wyoming doesn't score. They're like one of the worst offenses in the country.
Well, it's because they have a first-round quarterback.
Right. He's really good at checkdowns, and he shows a lot of talent.
Yeah,
doesn't score any points.
Got arm talent.
All right, let's take it into the Birmingham Bowl. Second year in a row that the Bulls have been in Birmingham for this game. Texas Tech coming in at 6-6. This is Quentin Flowers, Pat Shimonek. Early game. So this goes against one of my principles to try and fade the over to try and fade the over in the sleepy game, but South Florida plays games get a little rickety from time to time. Like, you know, there'll be like one quarter where they score 21 points, but then there might be a quarter and a half where they only get a field goal. I'm not real comfortable about this, but I think that the potential that we sneak in over the 66.5 is a potential. So I'm going Texas Tech, South Florida, over 66.5, and I'm going to make it a 2-unit play. I think there's a chance that when push comes to shove, this will be a game where I that'll be too much sweating if the game gets loose and it's close. And certainly with the point spread here at, what, 2.5?
3.
3? Yeah, they're expecting it to be close. And so when it comes time to trading blows down the stretch, I think that we'll get enough scoring to push this into the 30s for both teams. So give me Texas Tech, USF, over 66.5.
That 66 number looks suspiciously low. Like, I would have expected this game to have been more of the 70, right? A 72 type of range for this total. I thought about playing that over, but it almost filled it up better if it was like 69.5 or something like that. I am on. If you have followed my picks throughout the year, you know that I have been very suspicious and leery of South Florida throughout. I'm going to keep on riding that. I'm going to go Texas Tech plus the points, and keep on banking on South Florida to disappoint people, because I still think that 9-2 record is one of the more misleading records out there, and I think Texas Tech is a quality football team that played in a really competitive conference, and Birmingham is that's a hop in town compared to Lubbock. So they're excited to be there, excited to play in this game, and they're going to get the win.
Tom? Oh, no, wait, Barton, what's your wager?
Oh, okay. What did I write down for this one? 3. Give me the 3 units. Nice. So this is a recommended play.
Woo! Watch out. Money bags. Tom?
I'm on the over as well, Chip. Over 66.5, 5-star.
Wait, so you really are only going ones or fives?
Yeah.
All right, what's your reasoning behind the over 66.5? Because an over, that's off for Nelly Brand.
Yeah, it's goes against the brand, but it's like Barton said, the number for this game seems unreasonably low. And I think part of that is because if you look at USF's overall statistics, you see that it's only averaging 23 points a game. But that's very misleading, because that average has been brought down by games against, you know, teams like Stony Brook and San Jose State and Temple. When they've played teams with a winning record, they're giving up 38 points a game. That's a very, very large disparity there. That's over 2 touchdown difference. And then there's Texas Tech, which, as we know, is a team that's very capable of putting up points, and it's more capable of allowing points. So I'm expecting this to be a very video game-ish back-and-forth affair. There could be a slow start that kind of gets you a little worried in that first quarter with the early start in the day, but I think that as this one goes along, we're going to be seeing a lot of touchdowns back and forth, and I think, you know, we might be hitting this over by the beginning of the fourth quarter.
Woo! All right, Tom, back to you. We're going to be headed to Fort Worth for the Armed Forces Bowl. We're in TCU Stadium. We got San Diego State and Army, Black Knights, Aztecs favored by 6.5. I don't know what our over-under is. What's your play?
Hey, Chip, yeah. Will you bump me up to a 4-unit play on Texas Tech? Because I think you guys are going to win your overplay as well. So I gotta be able to keep pace here. I'm gonna go 4 units there.
I think Texas Tech is the play. Also, yeah. By the way, Tom pointed out earlier the South Florida back in the Birmingham Bowl after coming like, you know, this close to winning the division. Like, what you playing for, dog?
Your 6 expectations.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, Tom. Armed Forces Bowl. What's your pick?
I'm taking San Diego State -6, and it's a 5-star lock. Fun fact, since he's taken over at San Diego State, Rocky Long has coached against 12 option attacks like he'll be facing with Army, including Army twice. In those 12 games, San Diego State is 11-1. The 11 wins have come by an average of 12.8 points per game. The only loss, caveat, did come in a bowl game a few years ago, the Poinsettia Bowl. They lost to Navy by a point, but that was a much better Navy team than what I think this Army team is this year. And earlier this season, San Diego State beat Air Force 28-24. It beat New Mexico 35-10. an option team is not something that San Diego State, who has a very solid run defense to begin with, has trouble preparing for. And as we've always seen as well, it's difficult to prepare for an option team on a week. It's not nearly as difficult to get ready for it when you have 2 to 3 weeks of practice and ready to prepare for it. So I think San Diego State's going to win this one, and I think the Aztecs are going to win pretty handily.
Going against the Black Knights in the Armed Forces Bowl, an anti-troops play. Eesh.
Well, you know, damn typical millennials.
All right. Barton, what's your pick?
I'm gonna play under. Under, what is it at, 45 and a half? Is that what you guys are seeing?
46.
Under 46. A lot of the same reasons that Tom was discussing. You know, I really like San Diego State's defense. That they, you know, they tackle on the perimeter. They've got a secondary that fits the run game really well. You know, I think they're a well-coached team. So I think Army will be able to. I don't think Army's going to put up a ton of points. And you know, San Diego State's got a pretty deliberate offense as well. I just think there's going to be limited possessions. There's going to be a quick clock. This is going to be, in a lot of ways, similar to the way Army-Navy played out. I think this is just going to be I think this is going to be a low-scoring game. I like it. So I'm going to go – I'll go under. I was thinking about taking Army, but I just think under is a safer play.
Oh, how many units?
One unit.
I do think that – I mean, it's important to note that since the start of 2012, San Diego State, with Rocky Long as the head coach, has a 14-2 record when playing against an FBS team that has a top 25 rushing offense. Everything that y'all mentioned is 100% right. San Diego State plays great run defense, and I think under is the play, but my pick here is going to be also with Tom. It's San Diego State, and I am also making it a five-unit play. I'm thinking that we're going to see a score of like 23-10. I think this is very – like you mentioned the Army-Navy game. I think this is also going to be like San Diego State-Stanford. Low scoring, yeah. You know, very just grind it out. And it's hard to pick against a Rocky Long coach defense, particularly in this spot. So, yeah, give me the Aztecs to win their 11th game for the third season in a row. How about that? San Diego State, Mountain West.
It's impressive.
Yeah, it's very impressive. Buying tickets to sports and concerts can be complicated and confusing, but there is a better way to buy, and that, of course, is with SeatGeek. See, SeatGeek, as we've been telling you, is a smart and easy way to get tickets to any type of live event, and this might be for you searching for a last-minute deal. Maybe you are needing to find the perfect gift because SeatGeek can help you find the perfect gift here during the holiday season. They get you the best seats at the best prices, and it is great because every single purchase is fully guaranteed. I've got the app on my phone. It's been great when we've been trying to get Christmas Carol tickets, whether we've been trying to get Hurricanes tickets. Very easy to use. You got the scores. Always looking for those scores in the 90s for the best value. They get you that value by searching multiple ticket sites to compare prices and find amazing deals. And like I mentioned, since every purchase is fully guaranteed, you get to shop for tickets on SeatGeek with confidence. So make SeatGeek your go-to app for finding the best deals on every ticket, from sports to concerts to comedy to theater. And so right now, as a 24/7 Sports College Football Podcast listener, you can get $20 off your first SeatGeek purchase. Just download the SeatGeek app and enter promo code 24/7 today. That's promo code 24/7 for $20 off your first SeatGeek purchase. Download that app. Insert that code. Save a bunch of money. Buy a ticket or, you know, buy a gift for yourself. Could be a lot of fun. It's the best thing to do this holiday season with SeatGeek. I bet you can get a lot of bowl tickets if you're living in an area with a bowl game. Probably. I
wonder how much Bahama Bowl tickets are on SeatGeek.
I imagine that there's as a fan there are other costs involved beyond the cost of the ticket.
Can't just drive there?
I can't. Can you?
I could try.
All right. Let's see. Barton, we've got App State and Toledo. Fun game. What you got?
Yeah. I mean, I'm going to go with this is another whopping one unit play for me. And I'm going to go with the dog, App State, +7. You know, this is a program that, I mean, these guys know how to win. These guys can figure it out. You know, their quarterback, Taylor Lamb, has had a really productive career, kind of his swan song here. I think that they're going to be a team that, like, whether they win or not, 7 points just seems like a lot for a team that's battle tested, that has played in some big games, that I think will be really motivated. I honestly think these are two, and I really like Toledo. I like Jason Candle a lot as a coach, and I think these are probably, as the coaching carousel started spinning, these are like the two coaches in Toledo and Candle and Satterfield that, like, probably in most years, if not for all just like the craziness, would have been some of the hottest group of five candidates to get a head job out there. And for whatever reason, they just didn't get traction this year, but it'll happen. So I like App State just because they're a kind of a grinded out team. They play a ball control offense. I think they're, and Toledo's top receiver is injured and out, as I understand it. Cody Thompson, though I guess he's been out. He may have been out for a pretty good chunk this year.
Woodside healthy.
What's that?
Logan Woodside's healthy. Toledo can get loose.
Logan Woodside's healthy. I don't know, man. This doesn't feel like a super confident play for me. But I'm gonna go App State +7.
I'm with you.
This feels like, you know what this is. You know what I did this. This is like when I had the hunch Marshall, and I just backed up out because Colorado State was sexier. This is what this game is to me. Like, I feel like App State, that's too many points, and they'll figure out a way to keep it close, even though Toledo's a sexier play. I'm going to stick to my guns this time and take App State.
31-28 when these two teams played last year in the bowl game. Mountaineers were winners. Not a lot of personnel changeover for either team. I think that Candle was probably the interim, right, at the time?
Yeah.
And, you know, Satterfield obviously still in place. Toledo has been very good this season. Toledo has been very, very good. You know, even when they played Miami at the beginning of the year, it was a game that I think Toledo was leading. And right after Mark Walton went out with an injury, Miami ended up coming back and beating them by about, you know, 14 or 21 points. But it was Toledo got theirs against a good Miami defense. I'm with you, Barton. I'm gonna take the dog here. If I was trying to make this pick, I would hope to get a hook, or maybe I would buy a hook, because I don't think Appalachian State loses this game by 10, but they might lose by a touchdown. So, yeah, one unit for me, but I'm gonna ride the Nears as well. Homer pick, Tom.
We've got Lock Unity.
Woo!
I am also on Appalachian State +7, but I'm a 5-star lock.
Yes.
This is going to be a really fun game. It's going to be close. It's going to be back and forth. And as we saw last year, you mentioned the Camellia Bowl. Appalachian State won that game by 3. Teams aren't all that different this year. I expect the same kind of game. So if you're going to give me nearly a touchdown worth of points in this matchup, I'm not passing them up. Give it to me. Give me it at 5 stars, baby. 5-star lock.
Hey, Tom.
Yep.
Can we get a wind report for the Hawaii Bowl?
Oh, would you like a wind report?
I would like a wind report for the Hawaii Bowl.
Well, Chip, there's an 85% chance of wonders in Honolulu on Christmas Eve, as Houston and Fresno will be playing at the Aloha Stadium, where there will be 11, 12, 13 mile an hour crosswinds throughout. And as we all know, wind, particularly when it's blowing across the field, does wonders for the under, and thus is birthed the wonder.
So you're making the wonder your 5-star play?
You're going to be shocked to learn this, but the under 49 in the Hawaii Bowl, 5-star lock.
Oh, man, you're going to build a lead this week.
All right. Barton. What's your Hawaii Bowl play?
God, Tom is putting the pedal to the metal, really kind of putting me up against it. All right, I'm going Fresno State plus 2.5. This is, I mean, Jeff Tedford should have been coach of the year. That was a one-win team last year that played for the Mountain West Championship this year. They beat Boise State a week before losing to them by 3 points. They were one of Alabama's closest wins this year. Like, this is a good football team, and I think this is a better coached football team than the Major Applewhite-led Houston Cougars, who have had a hard time finding identity on offense. They've been a much less stingy defense this year. This is a Fresno State team that plays this is a top 20 defense in the country, yards per play. I think they'll be ready. I think this is, again, given where these teams were last year and what this bowl means to each, Fresno State comes into this one a lot more motivated. I'm going to go 3 units on the Bulldogs and the points.
I've called Houston fraudulent and eaten my words for it, but I got to double down in bowl season because you trust your gut, you trust your principles. I agree with you, Barton. There's a major coaching advantage here. That is a big part of it. But there's also, Jeff Tedford, you could say he's been there, done that. Major Applewhite still getting it done. But literally, Fresno State has been there, done that. They won 31-21 in this stadium earlier this season. Just over a month ago. That game was on November 12th. So Fresno State's going to get right back into it. I don't think they should be the underdogs at all. And so I'm making it a 3-star lock as well, but Fresno State plus 2.5. And if you are of the type to be looking at tasty money lines, if you're celebrating Christmas Eve and the eggnog's feeling good, then get yourself some value on that money line play, because I think Fresno State wins this game. Let's see. Oh, man, this is a bad game. Oh, God. Oh.
There's no such thing. No such thing.
Oh, I can't look at it. West Virginia and Utah. A Will Grier and Justin Crawford-less. I mean, Will Grier could come back. I am not putting it past Will Grier to just be like, just let me at him. And
Will Grier's trying to come back, but it's just his fingers are all pointing in different directions, so he doesn't know which way to go.
I don't like much about this game. Utah's been a bad football team for many, many games throughout this season. West Virginia without some of its most potent offensive players. Like I could not be less confident in Utah to cover a spread of nearly or right at a touchdown. But at the same time, I don't know where West Virginia's offense is going to come from. So that's why I am actually making as one of my more confident plays of this slate the West Virginia-Utah under 56.5, and I'm going to take it as a 4-unit play. That's a lot of units. Tom, where are you locking in on this wonderful contest between West Virginia and Utah?
We're at the same place. I do not trust Utah to cover a touchdown, and I don't know that I want to trust West Virginia to stay within a touchdown considering who it may be without. So I'm staying away from the spread and I'm following you. I am also taking the under 56.5, but I'm only taking it as a 1-star. This is not a game I have a great feel for. It's a game I'm going to watch no matter how bad you say it is. But as far as coming up with a pick for it, I don't really have a great read anyway. So I'm taking the under because I do feel like of the 4 options available to me, that one is the most likely, but I don't love it.
And Barton, just to double back, your Fresno was a 3-unit play?
Yes.
All right.
That's right.
So what you got on West Virginia, Utah?
Sound the alarm. Reverse line movement alerts.
Ooh.
Sirens off. Let's see. That's the one. I want the air horn. 84% of the public is on West Virginia right as the line is moving from 4.5 up to 6.5 in favor of Utah. Give me the Utes. West Virginia without their quarterback, that's enough for me. I still remember last year watching West Virginia play throughout the season with that really solid defense, and yet their quarterback was so bad. Who was that? Skylar Howard? Was that his name?
Oh, yeah. Skylar Howard, for sure.
Man, that was so frustrating to watch. We're going to have a little bit of that again. I like Utah. They're a tough team. They're going to come in, show up, physical, ready to play. Give me the Utes minus the 6.5, I think, is what it's at right now.
Yeah. How many units?
3 units.
Woo. That's a lot of units.
All right. To Detroit for the Quick Lane Bowl. Barton, where are you at on this one? Duke and Northern Illinois. Are we looking at 4.5 as the 5? Ooh. What are you thinking?
I did not like this one. This is firmly in the 1-unit category for me. This might even be like a game time switch here. I ended up playing Duke. But I'm going to flip flop here. We're in Detroit, Northern Illinois. That just, you know what? Like, they're comfortable in that kind of gritty setting. They're going to figure out a way. Duke's more talented. Like, I've been wanting Duke to do more with this roster all year long. They've got players. They got players on defense. They got players at receiver. They got a quarterback that's got NFL ability, and they're 6-6. I have a problem with that. Northern Illinois at 8-4 is a much more grinded out type of team. I think that they're not as talented. I think that they're not as good. I think that they win this game. I'll go Northern Illinois with 1 unit.
All right. Tom.
I'm in the exact same place. I'm Northern Illinois plus 5.5 at 1 unit. I don't have a great feeling for how this one's going to go. I do think that, you know, Detroit, the Ford Field, it is the home of the MAC championship. It is the MAC's domain, and I think that will play well, or at least into Northern Illinois' advantage a bit. And I just think that the Huskies, even though they're not nearly as talented as Duke is, they're salty enough, particularly on defense, to ugly this one up a little bit, you know, muddy up the game a little bit, make sure that no matter what happens, even if Duke wins, I don't think this is a game where Duke's going to be blowing it out. I think this is going to be an ugly affair, probably on the lower scoring edge. So if you're looking at an under, I don't think that's a horrible play either. But I like Northern Illinois and the points.
Yeah, I'm on the under for the picks pool. I imagine that it is going to be a little bit of a muck it up, uglier game. But I cannot pick against a Duke team that I think has corrected its issues after a 6-game losing streak. I think this is a game, Barton, where you remember that Daniel Jones has NFL potential. I think that we see some option. I think we see some zone read. I think that we try and get Northern Illinois' eyes moving, you know, try and find some open space for some of those Duke skill players. And I think that this Duke roster, which is almost entirely, Joe Giles Harris, Daniel Jones, like a lot of the key players here are going to be back for next year. And this is a 5-unit play for me. I think Duke by a touchdown, and I would take it at anything up to 6.5. So I'm 5-unit Duke minus 5.5.
So that is an interesting angle, because every year we see in the bowl season this team that's got a lot of their talent coming back, and they almost have this resume game where they just blow somebody out. And you're saying you think Duke's got the potential to just be like, this is the shot across the bow for like everybody to see, well, hey, Duke may be legit next year. Remember how bad they blasted Northern Illinois last year. That's your visual here, huh?
The staff is pretty confident. Everyone like they kind of took ownership. Like, even Cutcliffe has been out around. Like, I mean, you know, Cut's not afraid to, like, he's not one of these shut it down. He makes himself pretty available in terms of media, and he's been talking a lot about all the things that went wrong and even, you know, taking some ownership himself, and he is excited about what this team is going to be next year. And I think everyone in that building is looking at this as a game to continue what they got corrected from the Georgia Tech and Wake game, and start to build to a season next year where they're going to be threatening to make some noise in the Coastal. So I think they looked at the tape, and I think they saw some opportunities against Northern Illinois that are going to make this an opportunistic game. Again, I think it's going to be low scoring. Northern Illinois has got a good defense. They've got all the comfort advantages, but Duke is a talented team with not a lot of NFL, you know, like no one's eyeing the NFL draft right now. Like everyone's pretty locked in for 2018. So I'm 5 units, man. Go Blue Devils.
That's interesting. I'm sticking with my guns. I'm going to go with Northern Illinois, but I like that thought process, and I do like that pick, but I'm gonna stick with my gut.
Like I think because I imagine you know that personnel, right? Like you've watched Duke improve the talent.
That's
level
one of my frustrations, because they've recruited well. Like their personnel is good. They've got NFL guys on that roster. So why are they losing to Army? Why are they losing to Pitt? Why are they losing to Virginia? Hey, Virginia's got talent too. But that's sort of my point. Yeah.
And I think that they even recognize that. You know, like yeah. this will it'll be interesting. Like I could be totally wrong and be proven wrong, but the vibes I've gotten suggest that this Duke team's turned a corner, and I think it'll be low scoring, but they are the better team, so I like them to win this game by a touchdown.
All right, I'm geared up to watch that game now. Now I'm fired up.
Yeah, dude, what are you gonna be doing? It's Tuesday afternoon. Tuesday afternoon, 2:00. We're gonna be locked in on the Blue Devils.
I'm gonna be washing my hair.
Isn't that like a 1950s excuse? Oh.
Oh, we stopped washing our hair now?
Oh, Buffa can't come to the phone right now. She's washing her hair.
What was her name?
Buffa.
Yeah, what was that? Was that a Buffa? Buffer?
No, Buffa. It's like an old Southern nickname. Like if you're named after your mom or your grandma.
Oh, man,
or something
that's
like that.
Some Raleigh stuff there, man. Wait, that's some like old South, man. I've never even heard of Buffa.
Oh, Buffa? Oh, yeah.
I feel like if you're named Buffa, you have to wear seersucker all the time. You're not allowed to wear anything
else.
Oh,
no, definitely pearls. Yeah, definitely got to have on pearls at all times. And you definitely are president of the PTA. And
did you say I do declare a lot?
Oh, absolutely, I do declare.
Yeah, that's proper upscale South. That's not redneck South where I'm from. there ain't no Buffas in hillbilly country.
That's well, educated South right there.
Oh no, we don't sit downstairs at the country club. We only sit upstairs. All right, let's go to the Cactus Bowl. Tom, Kansas State, UCLA. We got the Rosen one is going to be playing.
Is that confirmed? I was looking at that just yesterday and I couldn't figure it out. Is he saying he's playing?
I'm operating under the assumption that he is. I hope I haven't gotten that wrong.
Tom. I haven't heard differently. I don't know if there's been confirmation yet, but I think the fact that he hasn't come out and said he's not playing is what people are taking right now, because typically you would expect he would have announced if he wasn't playing yet.
Mm.
And I think he's been practicing, so that tends to make you think that he's going to play.
All right. We got UCLA interim coach, Kansas State with a coach who's mulling retirement. Bart, did Kansas State end up signing anyone yesterday?
Yeah. Yeah, they signed one. Yeah, they signed a couple guys, like, right as Bill Snyder was, like, telling everybody how he's got to talk to his family to figure out whether he's coaching next year.
Jeez.
What a mess.
Were you the one who originally pitched it in a conversation like off the record or on this podcast? But like I've been moving it forward. So if I haven't been crediting you properly, I apologize. But isn't it the like can't you see Bill Snyder retiring in August? Didn't you say that?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That is gonna happen. Like that's clearly gonna happen now. Whatever he can do to get his son the job, he's gonna do it. The problem is Jim Levitt's sitting over there with a clause in his dang contract saying that if he takes the Kansas State job, he there's no buyout. So you know Kansas State is eyeing Jim Leavitt as a pretty good candidate to take over at any point, and he probably would be willing to. But still, like you said, like if it's in August or something ridiculous, then yeah, you kind of have to go with an interim.
And then it's this awful season where Daniel Snyder is not Daniel Snyder, right? Wait, what's his son's name?
Sean Snyder, I think.
Sean? Snyder.
It's Sean.
Okay, so Wee Snyder is going to be the head coach of this.
Buffa Snyder.
This is Buffa of this Kansas State team that's going to have most of the team back. It's going to be super experienced. And if they win like 9-10 games, then you got to name him the head coach. It's jacked up. All right. So anyway, we got Kansas State. We got UCLA. It is the Cactus Bowl in Phoenix. Barton, what's your play here?
I want to go last year. This is a little bit of a game time decision here.
All right, I'll go.
Let me see if I can influence your pick. UCLA plus 2, 5 stars. Throw it down. Don't care. Ooh. Jim Moore is gone, so I can trust UCLA again. I'm pretty sure Josh Rosen's playing. UCLA is far more talented than Kansas State. And although I know that's the case in most Kansas State games, and Kansas State still plays up to it. I like UCLA in this game a lot. There's the fact that I think they're more talented. There's the fact that the public is very heavily betting Kansas State, which makes me love UCLA even more. There's a lot of things. Everything I look at, every trend I look at, tells me that UCLA is the play. And I'm taking the Bruins 5 stars.
So here's, I was thinking the same. I had the same thought process. What spooked me is watching SMU get absolutely run out of the building because of what was essentially amounted to, I mean, there's who knows all the reasons, but one big reason was the coaching situation. I don't know, like a lot. I got to figure out what the coaching situation is there. I guess like as Demetrius Rapp, is their DB coach still been there? Is Jed Fish, I think, is perfectly competent to put together a good game plan. And I wonder like how unified this staff, what kind of continuity they've had. I'll take UCLA too. I'll go with a 2-unit play. And because I still think like when I look at 91% of the public on Kansas State, and that's not exactly the healthiest environment right now either. And I look at Josh Rosen, the pride he plays with. I think he has a pretty good game. So I'll give Fornelli a chance to take a 3-point lead on me there by taking UCLA plus with 2 units.
Well, another trend I didn't mention it, but one trend to follow in bowl season particularly is that typically in bowl games, if the team has a record against the spread of under 50%, like they're under 500 against the spread this year, and they're getting less than 50% of the betting action, that team covers 62% of the time.
And some serious saber metrics there.
UCLA under 500 against the spread this year, and last I checked, they were getting about 23% of the bets. So there's the trend. That's one of the reasons I'm behind UCLA, but it's also, like I mentioned earlier, this is very much a fading the public, and I just think UCLA is a more talented team.
What's do you have the information on the over-under here? Because it's only 1 unit for me, but I think this game smells like a shootout because UCLA's defense.
They can't stop the run. They haven't stopped the run all year, and that's all Kansas State wants to do is pound the rock.
Yeah, I see this game creeping up into high 30s, low 40s, without too much hesitation. I mean, again, it's only a 1-unit play. I think I'm punching in here at 64.5. And even if UCLA like pulls away and wins this game, which I definitely think is possible, then I still think that Kansas State at a minimum is going to be able to put 21, 24 points on the board.
Oh, I hate this game so much. I hate it so much because I know what's, you know, at the end of this game, this is going to be one of those that you look back and you say, wow, like that was obvious. it's either obviously on the, like, UCLA is a more talented Kansas State side and they get blown out, or UCLA isn't mentally checked in and Kansas State just beats them into oblivion, or they have a 40 to 45 shootout. Like, I'm just like maddened by this game, and my guidance here is lacking. I acknowledge that. I don't know. I guess I'll stick with UCLA.
I would love for this game to like quickly jump up into the 30s, and so I don't have to worry about UCLA or Kansas State -2 +2. So yeah, give me that over. Let's go.
My only concern with overs in Kansas State games are, you know, they'll put together 7-minute drives,
but not when no one tackles them.
Yeah, but the other thing about Kansas State is to counter that is they'll also have some defensive scores and special team scores. So
again,
find some points.
Yeah, I think over is the play. I'm terrified of the against the spread. But even then, like you said, this game is kind of maddening. So I'm just gonna throw one unit on it.
UCLA by 2 scores.
All right, let's review the cards. Barton, 1 unit on the Blazers, UAB +6.5. 2 units on Central Michigan, Shane Morris. I got to splice in some Fight Club sound later. +3.5. 4 units on Texas Tech +3. 1 unit on the San Diego State Army -46. 1 unit on App State +7. 3 units on Fresno +2.5. 3 units on Utah -6.5. 1 unit on Northern Illinois +5.5. 2 units on UCLA +2. Tom, 5 units on UAB Ohio -59. 1 unit on Wyoming -3.5. 5 units on Texas Tech South Florida /66.5. 5 units on San Diego State -6. 5 units on App State +7. 5 units on the Houston Fresno under. What number are we punching that in at, Tom?
49.
1 unit for the West Virginia Utah -56.5. 1 unit on Northern Illinois +5.5. 5 units on UCLA +2. Chip, 2 units on the UAB Ohio -59. 1 unit on the Wyoming Central Michigan under. Let's see, what are we punching that one in at? Wyoming Central Michigan, let's call it 45.5. Texas Tech, South Florida, /66.5 at 2 units. San Diego State -6, a 5-unit play. App State +7, 1 unit. 3 units on Fresno State +2.5. 4 units on West Virginia, Utah /56.5. 5 units on the Duke Blue Devils -5.5. And 1 unit on the Kansas State, UCLA /64.5. We got hills to climb out of, and like Tom, I'll tell you, I like your strategy, but those 5-unit plays, man, they cut both ways.
Here's the thing. If I'm right 55% to 60% of the time and I'm betting 5 units in each one, guess who's gonna have a much bigger lead at the end than you guys are?
Well, you better build up your lead now, because after this week, I'm coming out strong. 5s and 4s across the board.
You're going to need them by the time this week's over, my friend.
Oh!
We are still playing a Fernelli away game right now. We're on a Fernelli turf. So I'm just trying to survive. Get out of here in striking distance.
You're 1 unit behind.
I know. That's the thought process. Just hang in there.
Just hang in there till the fourth quarter, and then we can start making our plays.
Not even looking in my rear view. I'm just driving.
Oh, man. Our thanks to Tom Fernelli, Barton Simmons, and to you, the loyal listeners and subscribers of the 24/7 Sports College Football Podcast. You can follow him at Tom Fernelli. Follow him at Barton Simmons. You can follow me at Chip_Patterson. Gentlemen, thank you very much.
Let's go bowling, boys.